Wally, thank you for presenting the word to us this morning. Come on, let's give this man some love. I know that you appreciate every time he teaches.
Thank
you. Go ahead, Wally.
Let's put those hands together for Jesus. He's an awesome God, right? When the riders call a touchdown, how do you shout? Okay. So I need 100 of those. So can we give a shout to the Lord? Woo! Amen. There is a shout of victory this morning. I believe that this morning, God has a word for you. I can perceive that it's a prophetic time this morning. There's a prophetic word that's about to come to you this morning. You know, when Elijah stood before Ahab, he said that, by my word, he said, there will be no rain. And the Bible said that for about 3 years, there was no rain. And then he came back, and then he said, prophetically, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he gave the prophetic word. And before you knew it, rain started pouring after several years of famine. So I believe that this morning, God is about to release a word that would bring refreshing into your life. I believe that this morning, God is about to release a word that will bring refreshing into your family. I'm not sure what battles you've encountered, the battles you've faced, or that you're currently facing. I just know that by the word of the Lord today, you're going to experience victory. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. And I need a lot of amens today. You know what amen means? It means so shall it be. So in other words, you're putting yourself in agreement with God's word. So when there's a prophetic word this morning, you need to say, so shall it be. You need to say amen. Another amen, right?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you that you can take a mere man and make something out of him.
Amen.
Thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And you have not only called us into the light, but you've called us to also shine the light. Lord, I pray that this morning you will lighten every dark places in our lives in the name of Jesus. By reason of your word this morning, let there be hope. By reason of your word this morning, let there be deliverance. By reason of your word this morning, let there be healing. By reason of your word this morning, let there be salvation. By reason of your word this morning, let there be divine breakthrough. By reason of your word this morning, let there be marital restoration. By reason of your word this morning, let there be promotion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, take us from where we are to where we ought to be. Our hearts are open to receive your word. We thank you that you're in the blessing business. And so we know that we are blessed this morning. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. And the church say,
amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Brian, for this opportunity to be here today to share God's word. Pastor Brian's a great man. He celebrated his birthday on Friday. I don't know. How many people knew that? Yeah, you knew that. Yeah. Happy birthday to Pastor Brian. Yeah, put your hands together for him. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, make sure you bring your gift, okay? Don't carry it over. All right. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Barbara, as well. Thank you for the great leadership that you provide to this church. You do an amazing job. And on behalf of the church this morning, I just want to say we really love you, and we appreciate your ministry and your leadership. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Well, I want to honor my mom this morning as well. My mom's here as well. She flew over 7,000 miles to be here. Yeah, so Yeah, so thank you, Mom. Welcome. Anyway, I remember Pastor Brian about this about 3 years ago, made a joke. So I'm going to make the same joke, right, because it's funnier than I am. He said, okay, when my mom visited at that time, he said, okay, my mom had been preaching to me, right, from when I was small till the time I grew up, and that I get to preach to her, right? So that I can say those things that she's been saying, I can say that. So I'm about to do that this morning as well. Anyway, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's get in the Word this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you about victory at last. Victory at last. Sometimes in life, we experience certain battles that we might even get to a point where we feel like we're tired of fighting. How many of you have ever been there? It could be in form of maybe you lost your job and then you're trying to pursue another opening. And then you've gone for interviews and they said they'll call you back. In fact, they tell you, you really did so well. In fact, you're one of our best candidates. We're going to call you next week. And then you wait for 2 months, nothing happens. And you've prayed and you've fasted and you believe in God and you're like, what is going on? It could be in your marriage and things aren't going well and you've prayed and you've counseled and you've been patient and you've done a lot of things and things aren't working out. Sometimes there are challenges that come in that dimension. Sometimes it could be in your finances. You just can't balance the budget and things aren't just working out. Times are tough. There's layoffs going on and things like that. And things keep happening. It could be concerning your health. And you've been to the doctor and the doctor keeps saying this and keeps saying that. It's like every time you go, things get worse. I believe that this morning things are about to turn around. I believe that this morning your current situation is about to turn around. Because I hear the sound of victory. There is victory that is coming to you this morning. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Amen. What is victory? Victory is having success over something that constitutes an opposition to where you want to go. Right? So when you have success over a situation that has confronted you or a situation that has proved itself as insurmountable, and finally you're able to have that breakthrough, that is victory. I want you to know this morning, if you don't already know this, that you are victorious in Jesus' name. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter where you are, no matter the bottom or how you want to explain it, no matter the defeat that it looks like you've suffered or you're suffering at the moment, I want you to know that victory is yours. The Bible says that thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Jesus has given you the victory. So today you have victory at last. You're about to celebrate. You're about to rejoice. You're about to shout that touchdown shout when you begin to see the hand of the Lord work in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Bible says that in John 16:33, and this was Jesus speaking, say, in the world, you will encounter troubles. It says you will encounter tribulations. You will encounter challenges. And challenges, like I explained earlier, can come in different dimensions. He said, but be of good cheer. Why? Because you have overcome the world. Yeah. So this morning, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
That seems like an old English. Anyway, this morning, what should be a good contemporary English for that?
Yeah.
Be happy, exactly. Thank you, Pastor Barb. Be happy because victory is about to come. Do you believe that? You know, God has not promised us that it would all be rosy. Right? No, he hasn't promised us that. Because we are in a fallen world. and different stuff happens at different times. And we're not immune for from those things. But we know that whatever happens, we have the victory. The Bible says that he that is born of God overcomes the world. He that is born of God overcomes the world. So you are an overcomer. You are victorious. There's a young man, you can hear me right now, and you feel like, I can't go on anymore. I'm tired. I've reached my breaking point right now. I hear God saying to you that you are an overcomer. Yeah. Keep moving. Keep moving. Yeah. I listened to Martin Luther King recently. I've been listening to a few of his messages for the month of June. And he said this. He said, if you can't fly, run. He said, if you can't run, walk. He said, if you can't walk, crawl. He said, by all means, keep moving. So I want to say to that young man this morning, keep moving. Because the strength of God is in you this morning. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yeah. I was talking about Martin Luther King. He was telling the story about when he got to a point as they were doing the movement and, you know, trying to get equal rights and all of those things, civil rights. He said he got to a point where he got a threat letter. And he was going to be killed, and the wife was going to be killed. And he got this letter. He was so terrified. He was so afraid. Of course, he was a son of a preacher, and the grandfather also was a preacher. And the father taught him the way of the Lord. But he said he'd never really been at a point in his life where he was so afraid. And unfortunately, that day, he couldn't call his father. And there are times in our lives where we can't reach out to anybody. Right. And sometimes you reach out to somebody, it's like you're even misunderstood. It's like they had to the problem. And he said he had to go to his closet. And then he remembered that his dad had taught him that you could call upon God. And then he called upon the name of the Lord. And he said the God spoke to him and strength came back to him. So we might get to a point of desperation in our lives. When we turn to God, it gives us the energy that we need to go on. I want us to look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 today. It's the story of a widow. The Bible calls it the widow of Zarephath. And we're going to be looking at some victory lessons this morning from the widow of Zarephath. In other words, we're going to be learning together today, what are the things that you and I need to do to experience victory in our lives? It is one thing to receive a prophetic word. It is another thing for the word to come to pass. In between the prophetic word and the delivery of the word itself, or the fulfillment of the word itself, there is a process. And except the process is properly followed and utilized, you may not get to where you want to get to. There's a young man that, and this is a story, they told him when he was born, actually two men. One was told, there was a word of prophecy or foretelling, whatever you want to call it, that you're going to be a king when you grow up. You're going to be a king. And then the other one, they told him, oh, you're just going to amount to nothing. You're never going to be anything. I mean, the fortune teller was like, this is what I see about your future. You're not going to amount to anything. And then the other guy, they told him, you're going to be a king. You're going to be great and all of that. And so because they said that to him, the guy who they said was going to be a king, He never went to school. He never took life seriously. He was just like holding onto the word and like, well, they said I'm going to be a king, so it's going to work out anyway. Right? Remember that word. They say, is it conserai, serai? Whatever will be, will be. That's a lie. I hope you know that that's a lie. Right? So the guy, they told him, yeah, it's going to happen and all that. So he just like lived his life and he'll party and get drunk and do all those kind of things. And then here is the other guy. He took the word from the fortune teller and he got serious and like, I must not let this happen. Because he took his studies seriously, he behaved well, and eventually succeeded in life. And here came a time where a king was about to be installed in the community. Guess who they took? Of course, the guy that was successful, right? The one the fortune teller had told that you're not going to amount to anything in life eventually became the king. And of course, the guy that they told him there was going to be a king but didn't do what he was supposed to do, what happened to him? Nothing. So that's why this morning, even though the word is coming to you this morning that you're going to experience victory in your current situation, you need to have the knowledge to help you go through the process so that you can get to the destination. Amen. The Bible says that my people perish because they lack knowledge. The Bible did not say that my people perish because they did not pray. The Bible did not say my people perish because they did not fast. The Bible did not say my people perish because they did not go to church. It said my people perish because they lack knowledge. Knowledge is your gateway to success in life. What you don't know can kill you. And so that's why this morning we're going to look at the story of the widow of Zarephath. So I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 17, and I'm going to start reading from verse 1 so that you can fully understand the story. Because of time, I'm going to go very fast. So in verse 1 says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Say, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in Kerit Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kerit Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat. Can you imagine? The ravens were bringing him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Ahab was one of the kings that were not good in Israel. You know, if you study the Old Testament, you find out that there are kings that did very well, and Ahab was one of those kings that didn't do very well, and had a wife named Jezebel, and they were not treating God's people right. They were not treating prophets right. In fact, they were killing people of God at that time. And they were given to idol worship and all of that. And it was about time that God was about to make a change. So God raised Elijah to champion that cause. And this was Elijah before Ahab saying that, okay, because of all these things going on, you know what? I'm going to make a declaration by the word of the Lord that there will be no rain for 3 years. And then we'll see how you're going to get that money to worship all these idols that you're worshiping. But of course, he made the declaration, and he himself still needed to be fed, right? Still needed to eat. Yeah. And so ravens, can you believe that? We're bringing him food. You know, sometimes we get so worried in life about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink, forgetting that we serve a living God. Yeah. We serve a God that is able to take care of us. Sometimes we worry so much about the future. We worry so much about our health, forgetting that we have a God that can take care of us. The Bible says that if he clothes the flowers, feeds the birds of the air, how much more will he not take care of you? So So I don't know what is keeping you awake at night. I just want you to know that if God could send birds, ravens, to feed Elijah, he can take care of you. God can take care of you. Let's go further. So there was still famine going on, and Elijah still needed to be fed. He still needed water. So verse 7 says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. He said, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in the jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called and said, bring me a piece of bread as well. As surely as the Lord God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. The famine was so severe. You know, we talk about recession, right? And this one was more than recession. You could invent another word for this one. It was terrible. And you guys have probably seen in the news sometimes when you see in some places where maybe like Northern Africa or East Africa, when they really have drought there. And it's like everything, there's no water, there's nothing available, right? And animals are dying and things like that. This was the picture here. Things were so dry. You couldn't grow anything, right? Those days, they lived by agricultural farming, right? That's how they lived those days. That was common. And then some people would be shepherds. And then, of course, there was no grass to feed the animals. So things were so bad that this widow, all she had was just one more meal. And she was preparing to die. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that God could not have continued to feed Elijah and provide water for him without going to the widow? Yes. So why did the brook dry up such that it forced Elijah to take the word from the Lord to go to the widow? Why did he do that? Why did that circumstance, why did that situation happen? It happened not because God was not going to continue to take care of Elijah. It happened because God wanted to bless the widow of Zarephath and preserve her life and preserve the son. So that brings me to the first victory lessons we're going to learn today. And that is that the secret of your victory is your obedience to God and his word. This widow right here, she only had one more meal, and then she was going to die. But look at what she did in verse 15 and 16. Let's read it together. So Elijah said in verse 13, don't be afraid, go on, bring me that food, right? And in verse 15, the Bible says she went away and did as Elijah I told her. So I just said, this food you have, just bring me some first. Can you imagine? You only have one little cookie left. That's it. And then some man calling himself the man of God comes and say, you bring me first what's in your hand. And don't worry, I'm going to take care of the rest. This is exactly the picture here. But the woman was so obedient that she obeyed the word of the prophet. So this morning, one thing I want you to know is that as you go through that situation, or as you experience a circumstance that poses itself as an opposition to you in the future, your obedience to God's word is what will give you the victory. This widow chose to obey God's word from the mouth of the man of God. And that preserved her life and the life of the Son. Do you know that every command that God gives you, it is for your own good? Everything God tells you not to do, it's not because God is a wicked God and he doesn't want you to enjoy your life. No, it is because it's for your own good. When God tells you don't commit adultery, it's for your own good. Because if you commit adultery, it breaks your marriage. It affects your children. When there's a divorce, you know, not only that, you can't even sleep at night. You don't have peace and things are going on. It's all wrong, right? You could even contract a disease from that. So every command, every instruction that God gives us, it's for our own good. So if you're going to experience victory in your life, you need to obey the word that God gives you. Sometimes, maybe you believe in God for a job, and all you have left in your account is $500. And the pastor hasn't even emphasized anything. Or maybe he wasn't even in church, but you just heard the Holy Spirit speak to you and said, that young man that lives next to you, or that young woman that lives next to you, take $450 from that and go give it to that person. My question to you today is, if God gives you a word like that, will you obey? It is tough. Let's be real, right? It's tough. Because if you use your human brain, you'll be like, God, I'm a financial advisor. You got a budget, you know? You got to plan for everything. You got to make sure it's all right. So, God, actually, I bind the devil. This must be the devil talking to me. I bind the devil. This can't be God. No. No, how am I going to feed my kids? Sometimes we do all of that, but the more you bind the devil, the stronger the voice comes, right? Has anyone ever experienced that before? Yeah, exactly. But you know what? When you dare enough to take that step of obedience, you're bound to experience victory. So I challenge you today as a lesson that you need to take as you walk on the path of victory. When God gives you a word, obey it. When God speaks to you, obey. It might not be in the area of finance. How many times has the Holy Spirit spoken to me about something I need to do and I didn't do it? The other day when I wrecked my bumper, I was about to get into this parking lot and I could hear something telling me, just be patient. Yeah. Because there's a car coming out. Something was just telling me, just be patient. Of course I knew that was the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no, I don't want to be patient. I want to get in there now. And as I got in there, and then there was this bright light that came, and there was a pole before me, and I didn't see anything. I just like, boom. I'm like, oh, no. I should just have listened to that voice. Just 30 seconds, I would have saved myself -6 from SGI. Right? Plus the penalty. It could be as simple as that, and it could be as big as anything else. Some decisions are generational. Some are trivial, like the one I just explained. I could live with -6. After some time, I'll recover that. But what if it were something bigger than that? What if I had even eaten the whatever? Probably, you know, maybe I'm not even here again. And that's how sometimes things happen to children of God. And we wonder, oh, he was a child of God. What happened to him? But he did not obey the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit was telling him to do what he needed to do at that time. And I'm not saying that that's what's happened to every righteous person, that something negative has happened to. But sometimes that's what happens. So the secret of your obedience, the secret of your victory is in obedience to God's word. And we learned that from this widow. How amazing is this widow? And the Bible says, as I read further in verse 15, it says, so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. A woman who thought she only had one cookie left now had food all through the famine. God is able. If you will obey him, he's able to take care of you. What other lesson can we learn? So we've learned the first lesson. What's the first lesson? Let's shout it out. Obedience. Let's shout it out.
Obedience.
Obedience. That's the first lesson. Second lesson that we can learn. Honor the man of God in your life. This woman honored the man of God, Elijah. Honored prophet Elijah. And she got the prophet's reward. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew 10? It says, if you honor the prophet, if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. I want to encourage you today to honor the man of God in your lives. Beginning from our pastors, honor them. Bless them. How do you honor a man of God? One, you pray for them. You bless them with material gift. The Bible actually says, Paul was saying, that those who minister to you in spiritual things, they're entitled to receive from you material things. You may not like to hear it. Some people might say that, well, we pay them salary. Why should we bless them or whatever, right? Or like Pastor Brad was saying the other day, that some people think that pastors only work on Sundays or that church only functions on Sundays. Just try it out for 1 month and then you see what pastors do. Sometimes they get calls midnight, right? Because someone's going through something and all of that. It's a sacrificial calling. And God has put them over us for us to honor them. This woman honored the man of God by obeying the man of God, by asking the man of God to come live in her house. And she got the reward. She was blessed for it. The Bible says she had food all through. And that's not the end of the story. I don't have time this morning to read the whole story, but I encourage you to read it when you get home. It came to a time that the son of the woman died. And the woman went to the man of God and said, ha, man of God, I have honored you. Is this what I get for honoring you? You got to do something. And Elijah went to God. Elijah said, God, this woman has honored me. That's why the Bible says the gift of a man shall make way for him. Well, I guess it's not only man, the gift of a woman too, right? The gift of this woman made way for her. She had blessed the man of God enough that the man of God was like, God, this must not happen. And the Bible says Elijah was able to raise that child from the dead and presented the child back to the mother. Honoring men of God. You cannot benefit from the grace of God upon the life of a man of God that you don't honor. So this morning, I want to beg you in the name of the Lord, don't be part of the people that criticize men of God, even when they do wrong. David would not lift up his hand against Saul, even when Saul was in the wrong. He said, how can I lift up my hand against the anointed of the Lord? Why? Because the scripture says that, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. So what happens then when a man of God is going the wrong way? You pray for them. You gently instruct them. That's the approach. That's what the scripture asks us to do. Not doing CBC and CNN about them. You know what I'm saying, right? No. Not steering other people up to gossip and do all that and break and do all of those manner of things. God has not called you to do that. The Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Yeah. If you want to experience victory in your life, cease from gossip. Especially gossip against men of God, because they have an anointing on their lives. And if you come against the anointing of God, you can be in soup. You know what it means to be in soup? You can be in hot water. That's what that means. I threw a little bit of Nigerian in there. You know, when we're growing, our parents will be like, if you don't do this, you'll be in soup. You know, because soup is always hot, right? And when you're in something that is hot,
no.
You're okay, maybe not always hot. The kind that I like. Yeah. Not all the time, you're right. Anyway, let's honor the men of God in our lives. We get the message, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to do that?
Yeah.
Let's honor our pastor. Let's put our hands together for them. Yeah. Honor them. Yeah. Honor them. Celebrate them. Bless them. If you have the resources, buy a brand new car for them. It's not too much. Build a house and give it to them. I'm not telling you things that are not happening. I have seen people, and I have heard of people who bought brand new cars from their pastors. I have seen people who bought a private jet for their pastors. I have seen people who built houses and say, "Pastor, you've been such a blessing to us. God bless you." I need to change your thinking a little bit. I need to get you to think big. Because God wants us to think big. God doesn't want us to just be balancing paycheck to paycheck. That's not the will of God for our lives. God doesn't want you to get on your phone every time, be like, "How do we pay this bill?" God wants you to have abundance so that you can have enough to give and to share. That's the will of God for us. So let's honor the men of God in our lives. I want to wrap it up this morning. What's the next thing that we can learn? Just three I want to share with us this morning. There are more, but I'm just going to share three. The final I want to share with you this morning is that this woman, she ran to the man of God. In other words, she ran to God when she was faced with trouble. So verse 17, let's look at that. It says, "Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. It grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, 'What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son.' Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, 'My God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow, whom I'm staying with, by causing her son to die?' Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him.' The Bible says the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived." Learn to run to God first when you're in trouble. When you feel like you can't go on anymore, learn to run to God. You know, God does not want you to bear your problems alone. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, say we should cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. So God doesn't want you to bear the heavy weight on your own. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." So cry to God when you are in trouble. Prayer changes things. How many of you know that prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man produces wonderful results. James 5:16. So when you cry to God, when you run to God, like Martin Luther King ran to God that night, and he got strength from it for his soul. We can run to God too in tough times, in challenging times, in times where we desperately need the Lord to come true for us, and he would surely give us victory. Now, all of these victorious benefits talked about this morning is only possible when Jesus lives in your house. The man of God, in other words, God was living in the house of this woman. And so she got the benefits of victory. The Bible says that she built the upper room for Elijah so Elijah could live in. So my question to you this morning is, Jesus living in your heart this morning? Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you asked him to come into your life? Because you cannot experience this victory that I'm talking about except you know the Lord. Except you've come to a point in your life that you realize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I want you, Jesus, to come in to erase my past and give me a brand new future. And that's easy. The Bible says if only you will believe and confess with your mouth, it says you will be saved. And so this morning, as I round up, I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm going to be inviting you to come to Jesus, to make him your Lord and your personal Savior. Maybe he was your Lord before, but something happened along the line. You can ask him to come back today. You can rededicate your life and rededicate yourself to him. And when you do that, you will experience this victory. When you obey the Lord, you experience victory. When you honor the men of God in your lives, you experience victory. When you are generous, when you give, you experience victory. When you have a home in your heart for Jesus, you experience victory. And when you run to God, when you're faced with trouble, you experience victory. Let's rise up as we pray this morning. Are you ready for victory this morning? Let's give another shout of victory to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for